Oh, Lord, we just want you to keep our heart pure and tender before you. Lord, give us a pure heart. Give us a clean heart today. Hallelujah. We bless your name today. To do justly, Lord, is to walk in the light of your word, not to resist the word, not to be stubborn, not to rebel against the word. Lord, we don't want to do that. We don't want to do that, Lord. So, Lord, we're asking today for more grace and more mercy. We ask for your grace today. We know we need you, Lord, every single day. Lord, we just humble ourselves today. And then, Father, your word says that you want us to humble ourselves so we can walk.
You've been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship service. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
KKAYT 88.1 FM, 70,000 watts of gospel power. Power beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. KAYT 88.1 FM.
Jesus. Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed in reverence to God. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, thank you afresh now for this time of teaching. Pray that the Holy Ghost would meet us in the text and tell her the truth that we're teaching, that every hearer's heart might not just hear what you're saying, but heed what you're saying. And give us grace to run this race, and we praise you in advance for what you will do as only you can do. In Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said, amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. One of the things that I have been reminded of and prompted of, especially as we look at the body of Christ today, is the unrest that we have in the body of Christ. And most of it comes, believe it or not, from the people of God not knowing their purpose and their place and the plan that God has for their lives. As a result of that, there is a restlessness underneath the skin. There is a seeking and a searching but never finding, because we are missing our direction as it relates to our source. And so I wanted to talk about this morning the spiritual satisfaction, not secular security. And that comes in the way and the wake of contentment. Contentment. Spiritual satisfaction, not secular security. And I think there is a difference in the word content as it relates to biblical understanding and as it relates to worldly understanding. And if we would look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12, it's a familiar passage of scripture that many of us have quoted and we know. And he says, Paul speaking, he says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Verse 12 says, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And I think it's important because Paul is speaking and sharing out of his own experience. And if you know the life of Paul, you'll know that Paul has not always had a comfortable life, a convenient life. It has not always been a life where he himself has enjoyed the pleasures of life. He's suffered a lot. He's gone through a lot. He's dealt with a lot. And then much of what he has done has been to demonstrate his faithfulness and his commitment to God. So notice some things in this word, verse 11 and 12. I want us to pull out the word learned. That means having knowledge of or acquired experience. Having knowledge of or acquired experience. He's learned. He's had some experiential realities. He has learned it. And they've said that experience is the best teacher. Many times he has found himself to know a thing, but to know a thing is only part of a thing. To do or experience the thing is the fullness of that reality. So he's had the knowledge and he's had the experience. Many of us have the knowledge of God's word, but not all of us have experienced the knowledge that we have in God's word. And then he says, whatsoever. That's an intensive for whatever. And you hear us use in today's time, whatever. Okay. And so whatsoever is an intensifier of whatever. And so it means at all, used as an intensifier with indefinite pronouns and determiners. And then he says state. Again, the condition, status, rank, position, phase, or matter, content. Here's this next word I want you to get. Satisfied. Wow. Satisfied. And so when we begin to look at this and deal with this, we begin to see some things, again, that will help us. One of the definitions, or several actually, of content, is mentally or emotionally satisfied with things as they are. You don't have to jot it down if you can, fine, but I just want you to hear this. Again, mentally or emotionally satisfied with things as they are. Assenting to or willing to accept circumstances or proposed course of action. Third, peace of mind, mental or emotional, again, satisfaction. Right? When we see being content according to God does not mean not striving to do better. We should always be striving to be who and what God wants us to be, have what God wants us to have. But how many times has God's way reminded us that the word has said we ought to be renewed, we ought to be transformed? Reason being is because we are not to conform to this world. But there must be a contentment underneath the skin that is far greater than the securities that come from the natural things of this world, like many of us seek, like many of us dwell or deal or strive to have. And all of these things mess us up because we have bought in and are buying in to the contentment of the world rather than the contentment of the word. And so as we go a little further into the world has misconstrued, perverted, confused, and distorted the true meaning of being content. The world has associated a negative connotation with the word content. We have been programmed to think being content means having less or lacking. God's way means being fully satisfied that God is in control. In God, everything is full. Now listen to this. When we look again, we ask ourselves the question, if you enter the world with nothing, or rather, if you enter the world with nothing, and then leave the world with nothing, then obviously the stuff in the world ain't it. When Job said, naked came I into out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. the Lord gave and the Lord had taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That was something experientially that Job found in between the coming and the going. Job found in between the having and the not having that was far more powerful than the content or the stuff or the material things. And so when Job said, listen, God gives, God takes away, blessed be the name of the Lord, what Job was saying was, I'm content to know that I belong to God. He was content with his relationship with God, so much so that when all of his stuff, when all of his family, when all of his friends, when all of those things were lost and no more temporarily, Job didn't know whether they would return or not, but the Bible says he fell on his face and he worshiped God. He didn't curse God. He didn't get mad with God. He didn't say, God, what are you doing? Why have you taken this? I've done the best. I've been the best. I've been holy. He didn't go with all of that. He just worshiped God and praised God because he was content underneath the skin with having a relationship that was far better than all of the stuff that he had gained and gotten in this world. So if you come in the world with nothing, then you got to know that the stuff of the world don't make you something. And no matter how much stuff you accumulate while you are here, how much of it can you take with you? You can't take it with you because to God is nothing. And the real value and benefit of having what God wants you to have is underneath the skin. And that has to do with relationship. And so when we look at the element of content, God's way, content begins in the spirit and is manifested in the natural. Contentment is born in the spirit and manifested in the natural. Contentment is a learned behavior, believe it or not. It's not easy. It is challenging. It's not part of our human nature. If it were easy, we would not need instructions. We need God to talk to us and tell us and help us to do it. Contentment is a precious gem that must be developed and cultivated. It's like a garden. If you don't cultivate that contentment, if you don't take time out to do what you need to do to secure and to keep secure your contentment, how do you do that? First of all, by having relationship with God, by reading the Word of God, by reciting the Word of God, by being in connection with that word, whereby when you speak it as if it is already a reality in the natural, just as it already is a reality in the spiritual. God's word is settled in heaven for how long? Forever. So to God, it's a done thing. Everything in the spirit realm is already past tense. We're waiting for the manifestation of it in the natural realm. So to God, it's already past tense. Genesis tells us that after the sixth day of labor, the seventh day, he rested. Amen. Now, here's what you need to know, that he didn't make a day after the seventh day. He just repeated what he had already made. And every time it gets, look at the week, it's 7 days. And it again, when it gets to the seventh day, what does it do? It just repeats itself. It starts all over again. And so everything in heaven is settled forever. God has said what he meant, and he means what he says. He's going to perform what he has promised because that is what God does. That is who God is. And too many times we have made the mistakes of bringing God down to our level of thinking instead of rising up to his. And so your peace that passeth all understanding and being content in whatsoever state you in is realized when you truly believe, one, that God doesn't stumble or stray. When you really become content, you start believing what God has said in his word. When you have that peace that passeth all understanding, it's because you believe that God does not stumble and he doesn't stray. Well, what else do you believe? You believe he doesn't get weak, weary, or worried. See, when you really become content, you're like, you know what? God's got this thing fixed. He ain't gonna get weak on the journey like I get weak. He's not gonna get weary in dealing with me because sometime I'm a handful. Matter of fact, I'm two handfuls. I'm not just something, sometime I'm something else. But God is not gonna get worried about what I've got to deal with, because he's got the whole world and everything they're in, and he is in control. What else do I believe? That God doesn't fall or falter. Okay? Again, I'm talking about to have the peace that passeth all understanding. I'm talking about to be content in whatsoever state I'm in. I've got to believe he isn't misguided or misdirected. I've got to believe that he doesn't sleep or slumber. I've got to believe he doesn't mislead or misinform you. I've got to believe he won't miss it or miss you. He's on key. I've got to believe he doesn't lie and he isn't late. I've got to believe God is not me. I've got to believe all of the issues I have with worrying about whether or not this thing is going to happen or not are issues I have, not issues God has. And so therefore, I begin to trust his word. Because listen, if I go on what I see, if I go on what I hear, if I go on what I think, and if any of that is contrary to what God has said, I will not have contentment. I will not have peace. And that's one of the reasons why the devil doesn't want you to know the word of God, to understand it, not just read it and hear it, but know it, understand it, so that you can get the profit from it. You can reap the benefits of it. Now, here's something I need you to understand about content. You cannot have contentment without having the right content. The same word that brings content is the same word that brings contentment. You've got to have content to be content. And so what's in you, what's in your content, what's in your level of reference, what's in your library, what's in your experience is your content. And the reason why many of you can't be content is because your content ain't right. And so that's why the devil wants you to stay away from this word. Don't want you to know the word. Don't want you to study the word. Don't want this word to fill you. Don't want this word to bring you to life and to another level of living. That's important. The content produces character. Character produces the proper consequences. You've got to recognize that you'll never have the proper consequences without the proper character. Proper character will never be developed without the proper content, and the proper content comes from the Word of God. And so when we begin to look at this and work, understand that, let me just show some other scriptures if you don't mind. Because content is not the result of seeing manifested realities, your desires fulfilled, but knowing that God's will, which is his best, will be done. That's where contentment starts coming in. Now that you've got your way, now that you're doing what you want to do, but you're knowing that God's ability is going to bring forth everything he's promised in his word. And when you have that understanding, you'll be walking in a whole new level of life. Psalm 118 and 8 says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. That's one of the reasons why we don't have contentment, because we don't have the right content. If I'm believing man is going to do anything he's going to do, listen at this. I've got to trust that God has already directed him. So here's what I need to know. If man is going to do it, what I've got to make sure I don't get fixated on is one particular man. Because my problem comes in when I fixate my problem being fixed on one person fixing it. And when that person lets me down, then I feel God has let me down. But when he talks about man, he's dealing with mankind. So if the one can't do it, guess what? He's got another one who can and who will. So I've got to trust God that that man is going to do what God has ordered and ordained him to do. And if the man that I think it is that is not going to do it, or woman, whomever it is, it's talking about mankind, then God is still faithful and he's got to back up his word. So I got to realize, wait a minute, maybe I've got my binoculars out of focus. I was either unfocused or looking in the wrong direction. All right, let me throw out another scripture. Psalm 37:16, it says, a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. Now, some of us are not content with what we have because we think we've got to have a lot to be content. But the Bible says, a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. Do you know why?
Because when you got what God wants you to have, then what you got to know is God has not made a mistake. And if you got a little bit right now, it's in the little that he trusts, or rather that he tests your faithfulness as you trust him with the little. Here's what he says. He who is faithful in what? In little is faithful in what? So you got to realize if you got little, it's for the testing that's going on. And when you learn how to be faithful in that little, you can sleep at night. You got a good appetite. You got peace underneath the skin. Listen at this. You don't have all of the issues that the riches of the wicked have. Listen, they've got it wrong. They're worried about being discovered. They're worried about keeping it covered. They're worried about not somebody else doing them in like they've done somebody else in. I mean, they've got a whole, they can't sleep at night. Because, again, they've got it the wrong way. I want you to look at something else. The Bible says, again, 1 Corinthians 15:10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Now, here's a problem with many of us who come into the arena of thinking that you're not all that you ought to be because you're not what somebody else is. See, you've got to understand, God didn't make a mistake when he gave you the personality he gave you, the position he gave you, the possessions he gave you, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. What you are at this juncture in life is what God has designed you to be. What you will become now becomes a participatory part of yours in God developing you into the full person he wants you to be. That's why he let you go through some good times, but he also let you go through some bad times. That's why he let good folk fill your life and then he allowed bad folk to come in and deal with you in life. That's why God allows everything that he does according to Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for how? For good. Why? Because if you love God, then you know that he has called you for a purpose and he's going to fulfill that purpose in you. And everything he's allowing you to go through, listen at this, is to develop and to define you, not to destroy you. If you belong to God, what you've got to understand is what the devil meant for evil, God is turning it into good, but he's also developing you at the same time. If you take all of the ingredients that it takes to make a cake or to make gumbo or any other dish, you will recognize that each one of those ingredients by themselves many times do not taste good. Or you would not sit down and have a plate of butter or a plate of flour by itself. You wouldn't sit down and just have salt by itself or sugar by itself. And, you know, some of us might do some of that, but not by and large all of us. But when you take all of those ingredients, put them in a bowl or pot and mix them up. And here's, listen, it's not even ready even when you mix them up. You got to put what? Got to put some heat to it. Because what you don't understand, my brothers and sisters, is the heat that you go through is what cooks you and bakes you. It completes, it makes you what you ought to be. How can you have all this in you? And some of you may have all of the stuff in you, but you're still not finished yet. And you get mad with God because you know you got this in you. You know you got that in you. But what you don't know is you ain't been through the fire. And it's in going through the fire that God begins to create in you everything that you ought to become. Man, it don't really begin to make sense. Listen, until the heat gets to it. Man, all of the different, this, that, and the other. When you put that heat to it, then you start smelling that aroma. Oh, my goodness. That aroma tells you this thing here gonna be some good. But listen at this. What I'm glad about is God is in control of the heat. When the three Hebrew boys were thrown into an oven, the temperature was too high. And God let the temperature burn up everything else but the Hebrew boys. And listen at this. What I love about the Lord is he made them capable of dealing with the temperature by retarding the heat that would have destroyed them. He gave them just enough heat to burn off the ropes, to loose them. He gave them just enough heat in the midst of the fire to cause them to praise him. He gave them just, are y'all getting this?
Yes.
Just enough heat to develop them so that while they were in them, in there, they were perfected so that when they came out of there, listen, they were everything God wanted them to be. But they already knew that before they went in. They said, but listen, long live the king. And we ain't really got no issues with you, but we can't serve you or your God. We will not bow to any. Our God is well able to deliver us. Now, that's what they said before they went in. And they said, but if not, we still can't change our mind. And when they went into the fire, they proved that the God that they represented represented them in everything that they said because of him. See, that's just some things that God has got to prove to your enemy. But he's got to let you go through a little fire for you to be proved. God's got to let you cry a little bit, hurt a little bit. God's got to let you stand up for him when everybody else is sitting down and taking a different position on him. And when you stand up, God has got to show them that you are everything he said you are. You are faithful to him. And how many of you know he will be faithful to you? Listen, my brothers and sisters, one of the things that I love about this word is simple again. Ecclesiastes 5 and 10 says, he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity, Ecclesiastes 5 and 10. Here's what it's saying. When you're seeking the wrong thing, whether it's silver and gold or abundance, if you're seeking the stuff rather than the source, the end result is going to be vanity. Because here's what it's saying, you'll never get enough. You know, when you're seeking the wrong source, nothing can fill the vacuum that God's placed in your bosom but him. It'll never be enough. You said, if I could get this, I'd be happy. You got it, and you ain't happy. You said, well, if I got a raise on my job and I could do this and I could get me this or I could move it, and then you saw that, got that, and saw something else. Listen, here's what the Bible is clearly saying. That when your focus, your primary focus, is any place other than God, nothing in this world will ever be enough to fill you. Here's the real transcendent truth of that. Nothing in this world will ever be able to fulfill you. Amen. See, because you can, listen, how many times have you been, you've eaten stuff and you were full, but you wasn't fulfilled? Come on, talk to me, somebody. See, and I have issue with folk who, you know, when they eat something and they say it's good because they were hungry. Oh, this is good. Maybe I'm just hungry. Can I tell you, your taste buds don't go on break when you're hungry. You may eat it because you're starving, but you know whether it's good whether you're hungry or full. And so you got to realize again that just because we are full doesn't mean that we're full with the right stuff. There is a difference between having what is truly essential and having stuff that falsely inflates you. And see, we eat some stuff that falsely inflates us. And if it falsely inflates us, it makes us fat. But if it's nutritious and healthy, it builds muscle. I didn't think I'd get too many amens on that. Have you not heard the saying, you are what you... Huh? That is true. And so a whole lot of us in the spirit realm, We're caught up on a whole lot of cliches, and spiritually, we may be full with the hype and with all of the stuff that sounds good, and we are growing, we think, because we're getting fat in the spirit realm of being able to code this and say this and so forth. But here's the true denominator.